together. We have a little bit of coffee. We get into God's word and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2022, we'll hopefully make it from the book of Acts to the book of Philemon. We're just about finished with 1 Corinthians. So we've done Acts, Romans. We're about done with 1 Corinthians. We have quite a few shorter books to do after this, and I'm excited to get into them with you. Let's have some coffee. We'll pray and we'll get into God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are a merciful God. We thank you that you have woken us up this morning and that we get to come to your word. Father, we pray that these words might not just be on a page, but that you would write them on the tablets of our heart. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Again, I'm going to say thank you to my friend who provided me a new Bible. I still can't find my glasses, but thankfully I have an extra super gigantic print. Oh, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more, that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will they be made known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for edification of the church that you seek to excel. We're going to stop there for a second. We're going to keep going with this, but let's ask ourselves so we don't get lost in this. What's this about so far? What's this about? Well, he's talking about tongues and people who are speaking in tongues without any interpretation or anything like that. They're speaking some type of angelic language or foreign language. Nobody understands what they're saying. And he's saying, you know what's better than that? Prophesying. You know, it's better speaking words that people can actually understand, so the church is built up, so that the church as an assembly of God is edified, exhorted, comforted. Right? If you're playing some type of musical instrument that's meant to give signals, whether it's a flute or something, we know what this is like, right? If you are somebody who trains dogs, you can blow a dog whistle and the dog knows what you're doing. When I was in the military, in boot camp, we did these different exercises, and as we were in formation, we knew what different sounds of the whistle meant. And so, there was a sound for us to do an about face and a sound for us to do a right face and a left face and to stand at attention. We knew what these different sounds meant. Same with the Greek word here, salpinks, right? The trumpet. The Roman soldier knew if they played a certain sound on the trumpet, that meant to advance. And if it was a different sound, that meant to retreat. This is why we had the song about the little drummer boys, right? Because musical instruments can give off a sense of meaning. But if there's nobody knows what you're doing, nobody knows what to do. And so he's saying, this isn't how it's supposed to happen here. It's better that you be prophesying than that you be speaking in tongues. Verse 13, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret, For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. That's wonderful that you are speaking in the tongues of the spirit, but no one else around you can say amen to your prayer. You're speaking to God, but nobody knows what you're saying, and so no one can join in on you and say, yes, thank you, Lord, amen. Next paragraph, these next two verses, 18 and 19. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with an understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 with a tongue. Right? What is he saying? He's saying, I would rather preach to the 10th most degree prophesying than speaking in tongues. It's better to speak intelligible words that people can understand than it is to speak in tongues. Verse 20 through 21. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes. But in understanding, be mature. As in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. This is quoting the book of Isaiah here. And when he's saying this, he's saying that, you know, he called the Assyrians and they were speaking another tongue, and the tongue wasn't good for them. The tongues that they were speaking were actually for their judgment. And so he's saying, right, you got to be ignorant about, you ought to know the things of God, but be ignorant about the things of evil. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together, and here's how he's going to start giving some rules for the church. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. You have a non-believer walk into your church, he's speaking to the Christians there in Corinth, and he's saying, look, you're speaking in tongues, they're going to think that you're bat crazy. Right? You guys don't know what you're talking about. Nobody knows what's being said. And this certainly is not of God. But if somebody gets up there and they prophesies, that unbeliever who has come into their midst, their heart might be rent and they might fall on their face and they might worship God and say, I know the Spirit is actually amongst them. Then the next paragraph. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Or did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. So what is he saying here? Many people in the ancient world, when they heard of prophets speaking and things like this, this was like ecstatic talk. You know, the Holy Spirit fully takes over this person, and they just can't help it. They just have to talk. And Paul's saying here, that's not God's Spirit. No, God's Spirit is not a spirit of confusion and of chaos, but of order and decency. And so if someone has the gift of tongues, let one or two, maybe three speak, but only if there's an interpreter. If there's no interpreter, that person ought to just pray to themselves, keep this between them and God, because it's not edifying to the church. But if there's a prophet who speaks the same way, a prophet isn't to just stand up and start talking. No. If there's a prophet, there's to be an order to things. One man stands up, gives the prophecy, another stands up, gives the prophecy, another stands up, gives the prophecy. And the church is not to just wholesale gobble this down, but they're to compare it with the scriptures. They're to be good Bereans. They're to test the prophecies. Right? Does this align with what God has said? Or is this not? This is exactly what the book of 1 John tells us to do, right? To test the spirits, to test the prophecies. We're not to just assume that everything somebody says is from God. Hold on. The rule of faith applies here. Does this line up with the clear teaching of God's word? So what about this whole point? Some of you will be scratching your heads about this secondary point here that Paul gives. And I do want to point out, this is not the main thing that he's saying, but the point of things being decently in order is, what about let the women keep silent and the churches didn't? We look in chapter 11 and the women were prophesying. Yes, they were. So what is this dealing with? I think what this is dealing with is the evaluation of those prophecies. Just like in chapter 11, the order of the home wasn't to be overthrown because now these women were prophesying. Now, if a husband is giving his prophecy, the women aren't to start standing up and saying, I don't think that's actually true, or I got a question about that. What do you mean about that? No, hold on. Let the prophet finish his full statement. When they get home, let the wife do that. There's still an order to this meeting that's supposed to happen. And in the ancient world, this is one of these things that we might get a little bit disconnected, especially in our culture. Right? In our culture, what do teachers say? There's no such thing as a dumb question. Romans didn't know that. Greek people didn't know that. Actually, they said the ignorant people were to stay ignorant. Right? You don't ask a dumb question. Right? Let the people who are in the know, if they're able to tell that something is wrong, they would ask the question. And so what is this saying? It's saying, don't let anybody and everybody in the middle of the prophecy say, hold on, I got a question about that. What do you mean? Wait till the prophecy's over, ask the questions, and make sure that those who are the leaders in the church are the ones who are asking those questions. I think that that's what this is getting at. But what's the crux of this, right? This is why we have to get to B. What's the best verse to summarize this? I think there's two here. Verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And then in verse 40, he summarizes this. Let all things, maybe 39 and 40. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Our God is not a God of chaos, but of order. Even in the early church, as things were fluid, as things were, prophecy was given, as there were tongues, Paul is saying this isn't about, you know, people talking in the middle of church and all sorts of craziness. I have some friends who are of this persuasion, who are Pentecostals and who are continuationists. They think that these continuing gifts still happen. And I've been in some of the church services, I've been in some of the prayer meetings, and I'll tell you what, I have no clue what's going on. And it's chaos. And it's like ecstatic stuff. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. Where's the order here? What's happening? I don't know who's saying what. I don't know who I'm supposed to be listening to. I'm not being built up. This doesn't seem right. You know? And so maybe there are some of you, and I pray there are, who are continuationists. I disagree with you. I think this is for the apostolic age, and I think this is done now. I think the prophecies are finished. I think the tongues have ceased. But if you are a continuationist, I highly encourage you to lean into what Paul says clearly in these words. You can control yourself if you're speaking in tongues, and you can control yourself if you're speaking in prophecies. And just because you might say you're a prophet doesn't mean somebody can't question you either. Actually, here we are to evaluate all prophecies. Does it line up with God's word? So what are we called to do? Well, when we come to the assembly, when we come to church, do we seek to do things in order? Do we come because we want to hear of Christ? Do we come because we want to be built up in our faith? When we come, is it a type of church service where we can tell a non-believer, hey, come. Come, I want you to hear about Jesus Christ. When we invite people into the assembly who are not Christians, will they come and have their hearts rent? Will they fall on their faces and say, God is amongst these people? I heard the prophets. I heard the prophets. They spoke of Christ. Come and hear the one who's told me everything I've ever done. May our churches be filled with the Spirit, as all things are done decently, as the apostles and the prophets are read, and as people's hearts are rent asunder by his Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit, and we pray that we would follow in your ways. We thank you that your Spirit is not one of chaos, but of order. And we pray, God, that your Spirit might fill our churches. God, we pray that you would work in our assemblies in such a way that unbelievers might come in and know that you truly are present with us. For we are gathered together in your name, and we seek to do all things by your order. Lord, please, let us follow in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may the grace and peace of Jesus Christ lead you, guide you, and comfort you. May you be submitted to the apostles and the prophets' teachings. And may you be filled with his Spirit. I'll see you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.